Welcome to the Rural Pastor Podcast with your host, Pastor Andy Addis.
You plant the seeds in the ground, though the fields have long been brown. But Lord, when will your harvest come in? You're giving all you've got to give in the place where you've been sent. But will this labor make much difference in the end? Will no one ever know? Sometimes you feel so all alone. Like the prophet Jeremiah, you may be the one to go to the dying and the broken with a message of hope. To that church on the corner of that forgotten little town, with a room of empty pews where his love can still be found. You may never know of all the seeds you sow, but it just takes one willing soul to make him known.
One willing soul. Man, we love that song as it reminds us so much of what it is to be in rural ministry. My name is Andy Addis, and I have the privilege of being the host of the Rural Pastor Podcast. And it may sound a little different, maybe a little echoey, because we are not in studio. We are actually in front of the 2025 live audience at Rural Summit. Yeah. We are so excited to be here, and what a privilege it is to be with this crowd, these rural heroes, the ones that are laying it on the line. This song is about you. This ministry event is about you. And those of you who are listening, we wish you could have been here, and we hope you will be in the near future. This is also a special time because we are celebrating at this particular episode March, which, if you didn't know this, we all know that October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And hopefully that's when pastors get that Applebee's gift card and the pat on the back, right? That's when that takes place. But March is Pastor Wives Appreciation Month, and we like to celebrate that here because in rural ministry especially, we know so goes the wife, so goes the pastor, so goes the ministry, right? We are all in this together, and that is so important. So before we get started, I'm just going to tell you we're going to actually have a panel discussion today, and we have three pastors' wives who are with us today, and I'd like them one at a time just to step up, tell us who you are, where you're serving, and how long you've been serving in ministry.
I am Kathy Addis. I have been at Cross Point Church for 22 years.
But you've been in ministry how long?
Almost 31.
How long we've been married?
Almost 31.
In full disclosure, that is my wife. There we go.
I'm Haley Addis, and my husband and I are planting Cross Point McPherson. And since we haven't even opened our doors yet, I have been a pastor's wife for 6 months, 180 days to be exact. I looked it up.
And I, full disclosure as well, that is my daughter-in-law, and she is fantastic. So we got two family members and a new friend family. Yes.
My name is Kelly Jones, and I've been in ministry 25 years, and I think that says enough. And I'm not related to you.
You're not related.
No, I'm not.
But we're working together because you're serving where now?
Oh, so I am serving at Cross Point in Hutchinson right now.
And you've actually moved from big city to rural.
I have. When we first started ministry, we were in a very small church in Kansas City, Kansas. But then we went to the big city, as they would say, and we did big city ministry for a very long time. But now we are at Cross Point, and so I'm getting more of that small town feel.
Yeah, we've redeemed you.
You have. You brought me back. Thank you.
So thankful. We want you to hear from these voices, and the reason that they were selected, first of all, I know them, so I know they'll behave on this podcast, kind of. But also the range of ministry dates, from 3 decades to 2 decades to starting your first decade, I think it's really important to hear all these voices. Now, before we get to the first question, there's some things that we want to talk about. Why is it important to focus on spouse wives? There is emotional exhaustion for pastors' wives as they endure, often silently, what pastors get the credit for bearing the weight of. They bear an equal amount of that weight. I have a couple statistics. Research indicates that 20% of pastors' wives would report to feeling lonely. And if 20% say they're reporting that they're lonely. I imagine that's the lowest number you could estimate. I would almost estimate 30 to 40%. We know it's at epidemic proportions for their husbands. So there's a loneliness in ministry. Also, this one's really interesting. The marital strain of ministry on a pastor's wife or on just the ministry couple. According to the latest study that I have, statistics reveal that 80% of pastor spouses believe their partner is overworked. And 80%, this one's a startler, wish their spouse could choose another profession because it highlights the strain on the marriage. But I'm going to just guess that a lot of that doesn't get discussed because they're faithful and they want to be supportive and that doesn't come out. But yet, when they're surveyed, 80% wish their husbands would do something else because of the stress. Yeah. To me, that indicates there's some things that we need to try and get right. Yeah. Is that fair? So I want to ask these ladies, and just as they want to answer these, no one's assigned anything, but let's start. Your rural pastor wives, you're doing things in different contexts, established church, moving to a new ministry, doing a church plant. But what are some of the most rewarding aspects of the role that you hold in doing what you do? And whoever wants to go first, feel free to step up.
Well, we've only been at it 6 months, but I can say what's been the most rewarding so far has been just the way people trust us to pour into them. We're in our early 20s. We have nothing profound to tell them, but they trust that we will point them back to the Word of God and that we will pray the name of Jesus over them. And that has been really rewarding.
Amen. Isn't it great to hear freshness? Isn't that great to hear that kind of freshness? This is awesome. Some of you pastors' wives have been doing it for a while. You go, oh, she'll get over that. I hope that's never the case. I hope that's never the case. Yeah. Somebody else, what do you find rewarding?
I think the fact that we get a front row seat to some of the most amazing times in people's lives, that they trust us to walk with them when it's really, really hard, and they trust us to celebrate with them when the victories come. And we get to see a side that a lot of people don't get to.
Amen.
That's really good. Anything for you, Kelly?
You know, I would just say the church is the church. And so everywhere you go, we're brothers and sisters. And so every day we get to meet more brothers and sisters that we know we're going to see for all eternity.
Amen.
And so when you're around that joy, even when things are bad and we can confide and discuss those things, there's still a hope that people just can't understand. And that hope just grows stronger the more that we're around each other.
Amen. I love the wisdom. And one of the reasons we're doing this podcast is we know not a lot of pastors' wives listen to this, but a lot of pastors do. We want them to hear these things. We want them to hear what needs to be said. We got a couple questions that are going to hopefully help that in just a minute or two. But how do you define your role? Thinking, I'm a pastor's wife. I'm the spouse of a pastor. How do you define your responsibilities, your roles within that community? I love the way you knowingly look at each other.
My role is to be your wife.
This is Kathy
Period.
Talking. Just so you know.
Yes. I told Kelly she could say it, but she didn't want to. No. That's a different podcast.
Yeah, what is that? Sister Wives? This is not that podcast. You were listening to the wrong podcast.
What was I saying?
I don't know.
Oh, okay, wait. My role. My role is to be your wife, your confidant, my job is to make sure you are okay to do what you need to do and to make everything as best I can to help you do what you do. And because I was not called to bear the weight of pastoral ministry. I was not. God did not ask me to do that. God asked me to be your wife. And in that, I am your partner, but you bear the weight of shepherding that church. I bear the weight of standing beside and behind you along the way.
So do you still feel a sense of calling in that?
I do, in that because I fell in love with the church. And that's why out of that love, I want to serve and I want to do the things that God has equipped me to do. But my role is to be your wife.
It feels like you're theologically identifying with helpmeet.
Yeah.
And that's not just in pastoral ministry, that's just in marriage in
right.
and of itself. That's great.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kathy. Anybody else?
I mean, That's an attitude Nathan and I are trying to adopt, but we're at a church plant right now, so it is all hands on deck all the time. We have every serve team shirt in every color, and we know we might need to wear them some Sundays, but we're also trying to make sure we're just stepping in the roles that God has called us to be in on Sunday morning as pastor and pastor's wife. And so right now that looks like going around to every department and encouraging them in the work they're doing. It's hard to be at the church plant level, but we need them to make it happen. So we want to build them up and let them know we're thankful that they're there.
So you're neck deep in the ministry side of things.
Absolutely.
Right now. Yeah.
Not Andy's wife. Okay.
Thank you for the clarification.
I would just say my heart goes out to the women who move with their husbands, because the calling is on the husband to be the pastor. So my heart just goes out to all the women that understand his calling and obey. Because that's a major sacrifice and that's a major call. And so, you know, I've always said and I've always heard the saying, worship that costs me nothing, that's not my worship. And so when I'm called to obey and I'm called, he's called, my job is to go, I should be able to confirm that calling with you. Because the same God that talks to you talks to me, yeah. Right?
Amen. Amen.
And so the same Holy Spirit that's telling you to go should also be telling me to go. And so let's do this together.
Amen.
And so all of you that have ever made a move or ever been made to make a move, my heart just goes out to you. You know, we've been a part of four churches and every time we've grown family, but you know, it's the call and when to go and when it's time to leave.
You know, can I follow up on that with you for a second? Because I think part of the blessing of the help meet saying, well, I can hear from God too, is that when the call comes or when you need to move, part of that confirmation is that I didn't just hear it, but we heard that.
That's right.
And that we're in that together. And the other thing that I heard in there, I want to make sure we're hearing this for all the husbands who are listening, is that when you follow in the move, if there's a move that the Lord's doing, that it's not expected, it's appreciated.
Yes.
When your spouse goes with you.
Yes. I know. And this last move, if I can just speak to that real quick, this last move, you know,
which was a very smart choice.
It really was. I mean, I'm counting my blessings every day. you know, Sean came to me and was like, Kelly, I believe, and this was a year before. And, but he gave me time to process, time to hear from the Lord too, time to visit and time to just kind of figure out, are you hearing what I'm hearing? Mm. You know, are you picking up what I'm laying down? And, you know, but then he looked at me and goes, I know this is a sacrifice at some level and I appreciate it.
Oh, that's
and,
good.
And that was good because just to know that he appreciates that, it's just not, like you said, expected, but it's appreciated and, but it's said out loud.
Because it is that partnership. I'm looking at him. He's looking pretty proud of you right now. That's right. That's right. I can feel it. Okay. Another question before we get, there's another category I want to get to, but before we get there, this one I think is really interesting. How do you manage expectations from congregation and community? Because different churches, different levels have different thoughts, I'm sure, but every church seems to have a set of expectations for a pastor's wife. How do you manage those? How do you handle those? And what's the process for, sometimes they're going to be bad expectations that are put on you, and sometimes they'll be appropriate. But either way, how do you manage those?
So I just read a statistic that said 65% of all congregational members expect pastors and their wives and their families to have higher moral standards in their house than in their own. And I can understand why they might think we are at a, we're constantly Jesus, 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 but we're human too. We're flesh.
Amen.
And our children are not perfect. I'm not a perfect mom. Sean, I love you, but you know, we don't have the perfect marriage or the perfect, you know, testimonies or things that, you know, you see people just kind of go on and on about, but you know, I just want to know that just because that's the other people's expectation doesn't mean it's yours. And it definitely isn't God's. And so you always have to go, is this God's expectation of me or is this man's? Mm. Because then if you weigh that, you'll know, okay, if it's God's expectation, then I need to ask him for help to achieve that. But if it's not, then this is something the devil is using to work against me. And that's just things daily that I have to just check myself. Who is the saying this? God?
Mm. Yeah.
or man.
I love that. So the first thing that we're seeing there is that the wisdom is others may have an expectation, but if it doesn't come from God, I'm not going to hold that over my family. I'm not going to. So there's an internal management that happens first. What else, Kathy?
I think you have to come to a place of understanding if an expectation is real or if it's just perceived. And real expectations can be hard to handle, but perceived expectations will just beat the snots out of you. And they're not even real. Like, it's the enemy trying to tell you, well, you know you're supposed to do this, or you know you're supposed to do that. And we were at a place where, I mean, I won't say where we were serving, but it was really hard. And they had an expectation of, you know, my kids always had to have shoes on their feet. Well, I don't know if you've ever tried to keep a shoe on a 10-month-old, but they don't like those. And a woman told me every Sunday, why doesn't that boy have shoes on? I'm like, because I can't keep them on. And it wasn't, I didn't even know that was an expectation.
Because we left the staple gun at home. We can't.
I know. And this was, right? And, okay, that woman came. I'm not playing with you. She came with a pair of shoes that went up almost to his knees, but they stayed on. I told her, he'll wear them if you put them on him. And she did. But anyway.
You should have seen the boot she got me. It was crazy.
Anyway. What I'm saying, though, is sometimes we put expectations on ourselves that really are not real. They're not even what other people would even think of. And so we have to allow ourselves to be human. We have to allow ourselves to be who we actually really are, and understand when we do know that the expectations are being said, you see them, you know that they're actually an actual real expectation. We have to understand, am I even capable of doing that? Okay. And if I'm not, sorry.
So make sure you manage expectations. If they're not godly, you don't even own them. Then understand that sometimes the expectations, you got to make sure they're actually being expected of you and not things you've made up.
Yes.
Haley, you're really new at this, but have you encountered this yet? Is this something you can speak to?
I definitely have a young woman's perspective on this, but my husband and I were both pastor's kids, so we came in and we told our core team, we will not meet every expectation you have of us, and that is okay. We will overcome that together. We believe that you've affirmed our calling to be here. So Nathan and I are going to actively work to live in that calling. And then if expectations need adjusted, we're going to work together on that.
Amen.
And because we're going to prioritize unity.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Teamwork, and you are very clear up front. Yeah. I love that. When Kathy and I came to Crosspoint, where we are, I actually brought the top 10 reasons to vote no. And they became the Ten Commandments. It were things like, if you expect me to wear a tie every week, we're just not going to do it. If you expect us to do, it was all the things that were, and I kept them on my door for 5 years, until somebody said, are you ever going to be done with this? I go, maybe, maybe. But yeah, be clear with those expectations. Ladies, that is fantastic. I need to move to another category of questions, and it deals with how you feel and how you perceive support in the church. What forms of support from the church to you as a pastoral family or a pastor's wife have you experienced that have been most beneficial to you? And kind of this is, there's hopefully pastors out there and church members out there going, oh, feed me this information because this is, I want to, if this is good, how do we do this or how do we multiply this?
Ours has been, from the second we got there, people were texting and calling and showing up and saying, how can we pray for you? It sounds really simple, but we've needed it.
Mm.
We absolutely need it. We'll never not need it. There are lots of people in this group that we believe it. When they tell us, they're praying and they're asking, how can they pray? They're not fishing for information and looking for things they maybe shouldn't. They really mean it. They want to pray.
They use social media for that. They don't. No, that's really good. So did you tell them that, or did that just naturally happen?
We have several people in the group that just stepped up and did that, and it's why
that's
it stood
great.
Out.
That's great. Remember, the question is, what forms of support have been most beneficial to you?
I've had a group of ladies who are older than me that I have prayed with on a weekly basis for 11 years, I think.
Yeah.
And they have seen me through some of the hardest things in ministry. And they, for years, I thought you couldn't have friends in the church, right? We're kind of brought up, if you will, where we came from especially, they were like, oh, you can't have friends in the church. You that's just dangerous. You just don't want to do that.
You can't give that information away.
Right, right, right. You don't let anybody know what's actually happening in your house. Well, no pressure. But it was so lonely. It was so lonely. And when we came here, there were a couple of ladies who had been pastors' wives in the past. And they said, we don't want to pry in your business. We just want you to know that we're here to pray with you. Mm. And to pray over you and to pray for you. And I'm like, I don't know. But man, it has proven to be a lifeline for me. And that has been foundational. And then like the other day, I got a card for me, to me, with a gift card to me, for me.
Which I'm not allowed to touch.
That's right. It's Bath and Body Works. You're not going to anyway. But it was thoughtful. It was so nice just to be recognized. You know, just not that you don't deserve it too. I mean, if you want to go to Bath and Body Works and buy a candle, you just go right ahead. But
I'm out.
But it was just the fact that I was recognized.
Absolutely. And the fact that it was addressed to you. And it
yes.
wasn't just handed to you at church, it was
right.
mailed to you.
Right.
There were all kinds of things that you were like, oh, this is very sweet. And I was glad you yeah. thought that way.
Yeah. I would just say pastor wives, the new pastor wife that comes in, love her, mm-hmm. love her. Every time we would get a new staff member, I tried to make it my responsibility, not because I felt like I had to do it, but because I had empathy for her. And just to go, you want to sit with me? Can I introduce you to some people? That was huge for me. And I've learned something different with every pastor wife that I've had the privilege of working with, whether it was learning hospitality, whether it was learning how to be a prayer warrior, how it was being an evangelist. I learned something different with each pastor wife I've ever worked with. And that's just made a huge difference in my walk, but also in my encouragement. And I still talk with all of those pastor wives after 25 years. And
because it wasn't a role, it became a relationship.
It did. Yeah. It did. And I think that's the difference. I think there's plenty of people in the congregation that will love you. I think there are those that will come alongside you and go, it's okay for you to cry. It's okay for you to be discouraged. It's okay for you not to tell me why you're crying, but just know that I care about you and I just want to give you a hug. Mm. Because as a pastor wife, and my pastor wives in here know, there's just some things you can't share. And so when you're there, you're carrying that. And that's really hard. So when you have a pastor wife or a lady who just comes up to you and goes, you're hurting, and you can just break down and go, yeah, I am. And just having that support there, it's just huge. Yeah. It's just huge.
It's great. First of all, can we just say for a second, let's take a little applause break here. Can we thank these ladies for being vulnerable and open and honest? This is super helpful because I don't know if you know this, but men, we're not always super observant of things. And I'm just speaking, I know it's a stereotype, but if you could spoon feed us the right information, this might be helpful. Can I hear it from the guys out there? Okay. Make sure we're on the right page. I got a couple more questions. This is so valuable. I hope that you got the energy for us here. How can congregations better support and appreciate pastors' wives? Now, we know you have ideas what you need to do for my husband. I wish he had more time off, wish he treated me. But what can they do for you? What have you dreamed about?
Learn the pastor wives' names.
Yes.
And I just say that to say... that way you know specifically who you're praying for. That way you know, hey, Kelly, I saw you crying in service. Man, do you need prayer? Are you okay? Would you like to get coffee this week? Stuff like that. I love being Sean's wife. I love it. I wear that as a badge of honor. I really do. There's a few times where he embarrasses me. But he's a little goofy. I know. It's hard to tell. But... I would just say that I wear that as a badge of honor. So when I hear, oh, you're Sean's wife, yes. But when I have a woman go, but I want to know your name, I take that as recognition. Yes, thank you, Kathy. A recognition that, oh, you want to know me.
You feel seen.
I do. I feel seen, not just that my role is to be his helper, but that I'm also Kelly, a daughter of the Most High King.
Amen.
And I'm her sister. And so you know your sister's name.
Amen.
You know, I want to know my brother's and my sister's names. And so that's Pastor Sean. I'm just Kelly. But, but no, Jesus knows me.
You First Lady of the Church,
oh,
Kelly.
No, my goodness. That's your wife. I'll be in the shadows.
No, I love that. As a matter of fact, I want the rest of you guys to respond to this too, but three times now in the last year, Kathy has been asked to speak at a college event or a school thing that I have not been asked to be there at, so I go along as eye candy. That's what I do. I drive and I support and I'm out there praying for and yeah.
And
In those places, that's how I get interested. And Kathy's husband is back there. They don't even know who I am half the time. And I'm like, hey, it's me back here. And actually, I've really enjoyed those moments because they don't want to talk to me either. So that makes it great. Sorry, let's go back to the original question. What can churches do to help better appreciate and support pastors' wives?
I would love it if it was acknowledged that I do not work for the church.
Amen.
I would love to answer your questions, and I hope I can help. But as much as I like to joke about it, I am not Nathan's personal secretary. I would be happy to give you his phone number, though. And that is the end of it.
That's great. So drawing those lines, yes. Boundary lines. Boundary. Your mother-in-law is very proud of you. I just want you to see that.
And by the way, if you have enough Facebook followers that they make you a page and people cannot message you directly, please do not message their wife. I am not your secretary. I love you, but I'm a terrible admin, and please don't do that.
It's just a hypothetical.
It's not.
But let's be clear about this. That's not Andy's fault, correct? Hey.
Okay. No, it's not your fault.
Very good. Thank you for that shaming moment. That was awesome.
Okay, but you don't do anything to stop it either. You're like, oh, tell them what and what.
All right, I agree.
And sometimes you don't even give me a response for them. I have to come up with something.
Because you know me so well. I just trust you. And okay. By the way, if any of our listeners out there are performing any kind of marriage counseling, I would love for you to. All right. Two more questions. And I would like each of you to answer this. So just whatever order you'd like. But the first question is this. What advice would you offer new pastors' wives entering ministry in rural areas? So it's got a couple of levels to it. It's a new ministry wife, whether she's marrying in new or they're a couple that's just entering into ministry, but specifically in a rural context, if that has any bearing on the answer, what advice would you give? You're looking back going, here's what I would tell you. Maybe even a younger me kind of thing.
I would say don't panic. And give yourself grace. Lots and lots and lots of grace. You don't know everything, and actually, no one expects you to. It's okay. It's okay. Get to know another woman in the church or around you, or it's okay. You're going to be okay. God has you there. Take a breath. Give yourself some grace. You're okay.
That's fantastic. Good, good. What is your favorite phrase that goes along with that? I know what it is. You're not forgetting it? Just breathe.
Just breathe.
I've heard you say that to so many. On the phone, I know you're counseling somebody. You go, just breathe.
Just take a breath. It's okay. Find your verse.
I've never heard you do, call support for CPR, so I'm pretty sure it's a counseling moment that you're doing. Sorry. Somebody else, what advice would you offer new pastors' wives entering into ministry, especially in rural areas?
All right, so City Girl here coming to y'all. Observe and settle.
Two-pronged answer. Let's hear both of them.
Okay, so observe as in come in, check out the town, and figure out what that looks like. The way you feel, the way you're thinking, and all your preconceived thoughts. you got to put those behind you and just get a general observation of the town, of the community, and of the people. And so anybody that's told you something about that town, I have learned time and time again, or somebody has said something about your church that you're at, you have to go, okay, that wasn't the most positive thing. So we're just going to put that back here, and I'm going to just observe it for myself and make that opinion. And just coming from a big city, you know, like, oh, Hutch, well, man, there's nothing in Hutch. And I'm like, well, that's not necessarily true. There might be a lot less. But
we
again,
have the Walmart.
You do. And you have the Cosmosphere. You yes. do. I know. It's in the middle of town. We pass it all the time. But, you know, I would say that first. Then I would go into settle. You don't have to jump into action right off the bat. God already knows what he wants to do with you, and he's already gifted you with the spiritual gifts he has for you to do those things. So there's no reason to just jump in. And sometimes jumping in is the worst thing that you can do, because you're not staying in your lane, you know? And when you have volunteers and other people who work there that are already doing things that are great, they may not be the way you do it, but you could come alongside it and help them even do it better or a little different, so maybe we reach more. And so just settling, so again, you know, where is my place? Where is God actually calling me? Instead of, you know, the boat, you know, we're filling this hole and then this hole, but you know, the boat's still filling with water. The boat's still gonna sink. And it's just because you didn't take the time to realize that there were holes in the boat from begin with, and maybe you shouldn't be out in the middle of the lake, right? And so, again, you're just waiting to make sure that, am I ready to be in the boat? Do I have what I need to be in the boat? And am I going to be successful in the boat?
It's amazing.
And so observe and settle is what I would say.
I love those. Those are great bits of it. Observe and settle. Not at the same time. One precedes the other.
Yes.
And I think it's beautiful. Well, newest pastor's wife, what would you tell new pastor's
whole
6 wife?
6 months under my belt, I would first advise them to also meet with Kathy and Kelly.
Oh, that's such good advice. I mean, you meet with older.
Yeah, bring more people in, but just be open.
Seasoned. We are
seasoned.
Good
people.
Clarification.
Anybody else going to Hutch? I'm going to need a ride tonight.
You're on your own. But just be open. People are going to invite you to dinner and coffee, and just go and be open and be willing to let them in.
And can you enjoy that? I mean, sometimes you're an extrovert and you go, oh, I just love this. But even an introvert, could you learn to enjoy that kind
absolutely.
Of lifestyle?
Absolutely, because you need people to lean on. Amen. That's the only way it's going to happen.
That's so good. So good. Okay, I got one more question. This is my favorite question. I don't know if it'll be your favorite when we're done. I don't know if you, but I loved it. But if what is one thing that you wish churches knew that pastors' wives think or feel? What is one thing you wish they knew about pastors' wives? Give yourself just a second to ponder that.
Just because my husband knows it doesn't mean I know it.
Like you're not the queen of announcements?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where all the brooms are. I don't know that verse in 2 Timothy that we're supposed to have memorized. I don't know what the desolation of the, whatever it was that she calls it. Like, I don't know what all that stuff is. I didn't go to seminary. I don't know.
She's not saying the desolation of smog. I just want you Tolkien addicts to know.
That's what went through my head.
It was much worse than that, but... So your advice, what you'd want them to know is that you don't have the same head's worth of knowledge as your husband, so don't expect you to have that.
Yeah.
That's good. That's really good. I heard a lot of feminine amens out there when you said that.
I think I would say, as much as my husband is happy to be here and he loves to serve and he loves you, he just loves me more, and that is okay. If he prioritizes his marriage, it will help the church, and that is okay if we have a date night. Yes.
You know, the first amen came from your husband. I thought
that's
was
right.
That's really good, really good.
I don't even know how to follow that. What was the question?
What is something that you hope that congregations would know about pastors' wives, what they think, feel, need?
We're women with faults. And pastor wives wish they could do more. I'll be honest with you. I've never met a pastor wife that goes, oh, I really don't care about that. You know, I've never met a pastor wife that's like, oh, I just can't meet anybody else today. I don't know those pastor wives. I'm thankful, Lord, I don't know those pastor wives, because I want to pray for those pastor wives. So if they're out there, I want to pray for you. And my heart goes out to you because you can get burnt out. Yeah. And just like pastors, pastor wives do go through a season of burnout.
Yes.
Absolutely.
They need sabbaticals just like their husbands do.
Preferably at the same time.
Yeah, preferably at the same time. Yeah. And that being because the burdens he's keeping, he can't always share with us. Mm-hmm. But he brings it home. Mm-hmm. And you can see it. And, you know, like the example we had the other day where, or the earlier today with David Manor, where he was talking about carrying the load and the burden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And pastor wives will do as much as they can to lessen the burden, even when they don't know what the burden is. Mm-hmm. Just by being there, being a listening ear, or just going, I know you're hurting, honey, or just praying for him because we know he's on the struggle bus. And so with that, we get compassion fatigue, we get burnout, and there's just times where we're like, I'm tired. Hmm. Y'all, I'm tired. I'm tired today, and you know, and I think that's okay, because I think it takes times of that kind of honesty, and you have to be honest with your spouse first.
Yeah.
When he's tired, he needs to tell me. When I'm tired or frustrated, I need to tell him. He listens to church members. He needs to listen to me as well.
Back that up. Beep, beep, beep. We need to hear that one again. Would you say that phrase one more time?
So the pastors will take all the time in the world to listen to church members and counsel with them and pray with them. But sometimes they're so fatigued that sometimes I've seen where pastor wives are crying and struggling, and they don't get that same amount of time or that feeling of loyalty. And it's because we're expected to be stronger. And I'll be honest, you get tired of being strong, you know. And so David wasn't strong, but he was mighty for the Lord. But, you know, God helped him do that. And I just, we need to have be, I'm going to just speak to the pastor wives right now. Pastor wives, you have to be honest with your husband.
Yeah.
You have to be honest with your husband. If you feel like you need a date night, you need to say something. If you feel like you need some flowers, you say something. if you say, I need you to pray with me right now, we need to pray together, then I think you should be that bold to ask them, because they may not be your pastor, you know, in that sense, but they are your husband, and that is their first and foremost responsibility and the leading of the home.
Amen and amen. Would you do me a favor? Let's give all these ladies an amazing hand. Wow. The purpose of this podcast is to elevate and celebrate the women who are pastors' wives, and they don't get the press, the coverage, the support, anything that they need to the level that they need it. And we hope that this at least chips away at that. Before we say goodbye, my helpmeet, my Kathy, if you'd step up here, I would love for you to pray for pastors' wives everywhere.
Yeah, yes.
And you're the prayer warrior in our home. You say, well, aren't you, pastor? Well, I pray too, but she just prays me under the table every single time.
No,
it's crazy. And so I would love for you to pray for pastors' wives that are listening, for pastors that are listening for their pastors' wives, that they might get some changes taking place, and for the culture of the church, that there would be some resolution to be healthy towards families, towards pastors and pastors' wives. Could you just pray to that effect for us?
Father God, I thank you so much for the privilege of ministry. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you for allowing us to be called by you and giving us the courage to accept that call. And Father, tonight I lift up all of the pastor's wives out there. God, thank you for letting us be a wife and a helpmeet and to walk alongside and bear the burden with him and love him more and love him most. And Father, I pray that you would send a fresh fire in our hearts, that we would take that love that you've poured into us and just fall in love with your church and have a burden for the lost and realize that whatever you give us will be enough. And that God, we would begin to
see past the lies and the deception of the enemy who tells us we're supposed to be this or that, but that we would understand what our gifts are and use them to the best of our ability to further the church and to bless the body. I pray, Father, for every pastor out there that he would take a new, fresh, beautiful look at his wife and see the blessing, the jewel that she is to him, and that there would just be a celebration. However that needs to look in their home, in their marriage, I pray you would strengthen them, that you would encourage them, that he would be the first to speak those words of encouragement over her and just remind her how precious she is to him. And God, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you let our churches please take us off any pedestal that we might be on? Because, God, it hurts when we fall. It hurts them and it hurts us. There's no way we can stay up there, and we don't want to. God, help us to be real. Help us to be honest, knowing that you have called us to carry a burden, but that you say that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. So as we shoulder those things with other people, help us to lay them at your feet so that we don't drag them along on our own. God, you are so kind to love us like you do. We're a lot of work. We take a lot of work, and I am so thankful that you never, never, never give up on us.
Amen.
Help us, God, to serve you, love your people, to raise up others, to spread the gospel. That's just the best gift ever. We love you so much, and we need you for who you are. And God, we just give you the praise and the glory and the honor that you have seen us fit to be in your service. May you be praised, honored, and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. What an incredible time. One more time. Let's hear it for these ladies. It is a privilege to be with you, and this is the conclusion of, let me tell you, we're excited about this podcast, but the next thing on the agenda for Rural Summit 2025 is dessert. Yeah, yeah, homemade ice cream and so much. We wish you were here with us. Actually, we don't now because we want all of it. But we hope you're here next time. What a privilege it has been to share this with you. And we just pray that we will see you again very soon on another episode of the Rural Pastor Podcast. Because we see you, we hear you, we believe in you, and we're thankful for what you're doing in the places that you're doing it. Many blessings. We'll see you again soon on another podcast.
Like the prophet Jeremiah, you may be the one to go to the dying and the broken with a message of hope to that church on the corner of that forgotten little town with a room of empty pews where his love can still be found. You may never know of all the seeds you sow, but it just takes one willing soul to make it known.
Thank you for joining us on the Rural Pastor Podcast. Special thanks to Chosen Road for our incredible theme music and to 180 Digital for their corporate sponsorship and making all the technical things possible. Rural Church Leader, we want to remind you that your work is important, that you are important, and that you are not alone. See you again soon for another edition of the Rural Pastor Podcast.